All right, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you haven't already got there, and we'll begin there in just a moment. How many of you have ever heard of Laura Ingraham? See her on Fox News once in a while. Some of you really like her, some of you don't. That's not what I'm teaching about, but she said something this week. She's an ultra, ultra vocal conservative. And I'm sort of being mild-mannered by saying that. But it doesn't matter whether you agree with her or not, because that's not the point. Some of the things she says I agree with, some of the things who knows. She wrote a book, and the title of the book was Shut Up and Sing. And it was a book toward the entertainment singers, toward that group.
I'm glad to be back.
I bet you're glad to be anywhere, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Laura Ingraham wrote Shut Up and Sing. So, and basically the word was stop politicizing things, singers and entertainers, and just do what you have talent to do, sing. And then she said, not long ago she did this deal on Shut Up and Make Us Laugh, directed to my favorite late night person, Jimmy Kimmel. I say that tongue in cheek. It really doesn't matter because I haven't stayed up for late night since Shep was a pup, so I don't really know what he's saying. But she said, shut up with all of the other stuff and make us laugh. Mm-hmm. Well, then before the NBA All-Star game last weekend, that was last weekend, right? Yeah. Right before that, she came out and did one of her commentaries, and she directed her comments at LeBron James, who is the big basketball player for for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Very famous, great basketball player. Anybody know what she said to him? Shut up and dribble. And she was saying, we don't need to hear all this other stuff. We pay to go in and watch you be a great basketball player. We don't need you to politicize everything that you have to say. Just shut up and dribble. Now, that may not be the kindest way to say that. Maybe we shouldn't say that as Christians. But I think Peter's message in our day and time, if he were to use her analogy and use her words, Peter's really saying to Christians, shut up and live like Christians. We all get our little causes. We all do this. And Peter is really saying here, hey, everybody's watching. Everybody's watching Christians. So shut up and be a Christian and live like Jesus. That's not how you thought I would start the lesson today, I bet. But Chuck Swindoll has a good title for this section. He calls it The Preaching of a Righteous Life. The Preaching of a Righteous Life. Dwell on that as we talk about it. Now, we begin the outline of 1 Peter, just to catch you up. God's grace and salvation, we just finished that. Dennis finished it up last Sunday. We go into a new section today. So today is God's grace and submission. And then after we go through that, down to chapter 3, verse 12, the last section is God's grace and suffering. And so Peter is going to talk in this whole section about submission. He's going to give us little snapshots of what submission looks like and how to behave as a Christian in regards to this word submission. He's going to talk about citizen today, as a matter of fact, citizens being in submission to government. He's going to talk about slaves and masters, our wives and husbands, and then husbands and wives. Over the next few weeks, we'll get all of those. So if you're there, if you're here and you hear the wives' submission to husbands, wives, make sure you get them back the next week, all right? Because this works both ways. So there doesn't need to be any of this when we get to that, all right? So put the elbow pads on, and we'll see what Peter says about all of those different relationships that we have. Now, submit is an interesting word. The word submit in the Greek language is hupotasso. Now, is anything familiar there to you in English that you see?
Hypo.
Okay, the root word hypo, let's take hypodermic for example, hypodermic needle, right? So you have hypo, which means to put under, literally. So then if you had dermic, you would have had to put under the skin. Pretty smart, huh? All right, hupo tasso, to put under, to subject. That's what this was, submission is, all right? So as we go through the next few weeks talking about submission, this is the word that Peter uses. It means to put under. It means to be subject to. It means to, and this is the word we don't like, it means to obey. And Pastor Steve said it perfectly today. I mean, it's amazing to me how he and his staff, they plan all of the services and the lessons and everything just and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and how it all works together. But what he talked about today was all about submitting to authority, right? Talking about children submitting to the authority of their parents. And I'm glad that I get a second chance since I failed miserably at that submission test that I had as a child. So I'm glad that I have this opportunity to be submissive in other areas now that I've got that balance between accountability and responsibilities all mine. But the recognition, what Peter's trying to say, I think, in this passage, in this section, is that, first of all, Christian, recognize God's authority in your life. That's when you say, I really don't have any rights. My rights have been given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought my rights. And then I'm going to be submissive to the authority that God puts in place in my life. Now, there really, without both of those, there's real no satisfaction or true joy and happiness as we are strangers, as he's going to say in just a moment, aliens in this world. There's no happiness. There's no fulfillment until you get this piece right, until you understand that we're under God's authority, and that God has placed authority to help us, and the purpose is given here, but to obey and to submit to. Now, as a matter of fact, we were talking this week, we were up with Megan, our daughter, and she was commenting on some of the issues. We have some very interesting, good philosophical discussions, and she was talking about, she just felt that many of the problems in this one area that we were talking about were due to lack of submission to authority. Never learned submission to authority. I know some people, you guys have been in the military, some people never get that straight till they get in the military, right? They get straight real quick then, don't they? Because lack of submission to authority causes real problems. Yeah, real problems. So, the message today is submit to God as the supreme authority in your life. Submit to authority designated by God for your life here on earth. And here it is. Here's the kicker, what he's going to talk about in just a second. That will attract unbelievers to Christ. That will. So, you could really say the title of the lesson today is Someone is Watching You. Right? Okay. Let's go to the scripture. If you don't have any a scripture, I'm going to read from the NLT today, verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. Has he already said something about that? Yeah, he said that back in chapter 1, verse 1. All right? He already called them strangers, foreigners, because your home, ultimately, these guys, they were strangers and foreigners where they were. They'd been dispersed. Remember? They were dispersed all over Turkey in five different provinces. They were scattered abroad. And he said, look, I warn you, but he said, that's not the scattering I'm talking about. I'm talking about those of you, you're scattered in that, your temporary residence or your aliens, because your real citizenship is where? Heaven. So, to keep away from, he said, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Now, this is an interesting passage here. This is the introduction to all of it, but there's a reason, obviously, that he says this first. He said, keep away. Some of you will have the word abstain. This word we don't like to hear in church. We don't want to abstain from anything. We just want to hear about what we can do and love and all the gooey stuff. We don't want to ever hear, just like our kids, right? Our kids don't want to say, I don't want to ever hear abstain. It's just like our grandkids never hear the word abstain, do they? Not from us, but as parents, God says we should abstain, we should stay away from, we should keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Now, worldly desires, the first thing I read, when I see worldly desires, I think of the big ones, the big worldly desires. I think automatically it's sexual sin that he's talking about, or it's addiction, or it's something related to that. It's those big ones. Well, it is those big ones, and it's anger, and it's jealousy, and it's pride, and it's greed. It's all of those, because it says they wage war against your very soul. Military term. It means a military campaign. There is a military campaign to fight you constantly as a Christian. Well, I don't really like that. I'm not real thrilled about it either. But it's true, and all of you would, I think all of you, if you're very honest, you'd say, yeah, it's waging war against my soul. Now, why? Let's go ahead and read verse 12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. They see how you live, right? They will see how you're walking with Christ, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. So it's going to bring glory to God. So, we've got this, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. He said, if you do, you're going to be living right, and that good behavior is going to impact those all around you. Okay? And he's going to give the list as we go along. So, why? Why does he say, be careful, abstain, keep away from those desires that are warring against your soul? Why does he say to stay away? Why? Two reasons. Can you tell what they are?
Others are watching you, and it's dangerous, or it's bad for you.
Perfect. All right. So the first reason is because, I'm going to say it. I don't know. Did I write it on the notes? Did I write this on the notes? It's on the notes. It's not on notes. Did you just figure all that out on your own, Brenda?
I think it's on here.
Okay. It hurts you.
It hurts your soul and hurts your testimony.
It hurts you and its soul. This is, and when it's you, the word soul here, it's the whole you. It's just like God has done this. And here we are, right? And he's put these barriers up. Why? Because there's all bad things out here. Why did Pastor Steve say that he didn't let his daughter run out into the street? Because he didn't want her to get hurt. And God puts these barriers up because these things that are warring against our souls, bad for us. Bad for us. Well, I don't like the Christian life. It's just too many things that you say, no, don't do this and don't do that and don't do that. I don't like that. That's because you have trouble with authority, with God's authority. Because God does it. Why? So we don't get hurt. The other reason that it hurts our testimony. If we give in to all those things, if our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones around us, and they see us, and we live just like they do, and we're just as rotten, and we just give over to whatever happens, you know, and they see that pride, and they see the envy, and they see the jealousy, and they see other things I don't want to talk about because it will reveal my sins. So they see all those things, and they say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. So hurt your testimony. Okay, let's go ahead. Verse 13, for the Lord's sake, and there's the word, puputasso, submit, put yourself under to all human authority. Whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed, the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. Now, there's a lot there. Here, this is the first example, the first snapshot of submission. He said, first of all, he said, you got to be subject to the authority put over you from a governmental perspective, the institution of government, of being governed. He said, well, I didn't like Obama, so I didn't do what he told me to do. I don't like Trump. I don't like Bush. I don't like either one of them. I didn't like Clinton. I didn't like Nixon. I didn't like Kennedy. I didn't like Eisenhower. I can't go back any further than that. Like Ron. You know, Ron go back to Truman and all those guys. So. I can't submit to their authority. You know, it never does say that. It says, oh, you have to like them. It says you have to submit to them. It's like when that policeman comes over and pulls you over, Eddie, for speeding in that Corvette, and he pulls you over, and you know you're going 120 and a 30, and he pulls you over, and he walks over the window, and he says, look, you were speeding a little bit, and I'm going to give you a ticket. And you say, I don't like you. Well, at that moment, God has put that authority in his life to do what? To punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. That's government's responsibility. Punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Now, government doesn't always do a good job of that. They seem to switch it around once in a while. But that's our responsibility as Christians is to submit. Submit. You say, well, I don't want to submit to authority because I don't like the authority. Okay. Let's go back to the context. Whether the king as head of state or in the time that Peter wrote this to the emperor, who's he talking about? Mad Nero. Wacko Nero. The person who ultimately ordered his crucifixion, that we believe. And what does he say? Does he say rebel against them? He said, you know, be in submission to wacko mad Nero. Boy, that makes it a little bit different. Sometimes you think you're being led, and sometimes it's by government leadership at whatever level. You may think it's a little wacko. I won't name names, but sometimes it's a little different. But that's not what the scripture says, is it? It says submit to human authority. All right?
That's
right. That's right. That's right. For the Lord's sake.
And it gives you a reason.
That's exactly right. That's a good ad. That's a good ad. I think somewhere in my notes I was going to say something about that. So thanks, Mike.
I've got your notes. Already.
You got already?
No.
That's exactly right. For the Lord's sake. And for the Lord's sake, because it brings glory to God. It doesn't bring glory to God to rebel against the state. Now, I'm not talking, we're not going to get into the discussion of civil unrest and whether we should protest and whether or not you should be involved in politics. I really don't care. For the sake of this lesson, it doesn't sound like Peter did either. He just said submit. And why? For the Lord's sake. All right? Great, Ed. Thank you. It is God's will. This is for the Lord's sake. Look at verse 15. Why do I do this? Because it's God's will. I have to, you have to be careful. Sometimes you have to you stop teaching and go to meddling, and that's what I have a tendency to do, so I'll try to stop that. But this is a really good place to do that. If I were to do that, I would talk about those who, you know, that are wondering about God's will for their life, and I can tell them a couple of things that are God's will for their life. One thing, and you cannot be, you say, well, I want to be in God's will. You cannot be in God's will. You are out of God's will. You are not following God's will if you're not submissive in the authority that God's placed over our lives. We are not in God's will, period. It is God's will. What does it mean when it says it is God's will? Let me give you the literal, I want to read this exactly. If you were to sit here and read this straight from the Greek New Testament, it would say, it's his desire, it's his pleasure, literally, because this is what he wants you to do. All right? So that's pretty clear. And so, what's the reason? So you silence the ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. We don't just shut up and live like a Christian. And your life speaks so loudly to what Christ is like that that's what makes the difference in their life. For you are free, I like that, you're free from all these legal requirements. The 630 things that the Pharisees say you have to do every day, you're free from that to gain your salvation. You're free from that. But he said, yet you're God's slaves. And here we go with the submission. Now, the word slave there is the word doulas, D-O-U-L-A-S. Doulas, we don't have a real equivalent to that today. Some of you will have word there. Some of you will have, how many of you have servant there? How many of you have anybody have bond servant there? Bond slave. Okay, some of you. When we think of slave, there's not one good thing that comes to our mind, is there? When I think of slave, I think of those from Africa that were transported here against their will and put into subjection for hundreds and hundreds of years in this country and in other countries all over the world. And the horrible thought. And then he said, you're God's slaves. Not the same word as those being put into slavery, into obedience, into submission against their will. This is the closest thing we have. So wipe that out of your mind, because culturally it doesn't work here. Wipe that out of your mind. The word here is the word that means I have paid, I've been bought, I've paid for my opportunity to serve. I have given myself to serve. I have become, if I were going to be a servant of Danny, and I'm not sure that'd be a good idea, but let's, you know, he'd work me to death. I can already tell. Phyllis would have grace, and Danny would be more truth, and you know. So I would say, listen, I'm gonna give myself to you to serve. All you have to do is take care of me, feed me, and clothe me, and give me a place to live. That's the bond servant. And so he's saying that's what we choose to be, God's servant, because we're bought with a price. So you don't use your freedom as excuse to do evil. So, well, I'm free, so I can do anything I want to do, right? But why do you want to do that? Why would you want to drift further away, not be in submission? It hurts you, hurts your testimony. All right, then the last verse that we're going to study. Respect everyone. Here are the obligations. There's four obligations for believers. Respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king. Is that a good summary or what? I mean, it's right there in the scripture. You want to get things right in regarding submission and how you should be in submission. You get this right, you're on your way. You are on your way. First of all, show proper respect to everyone. I could have saved the company that I work for and retired from. I could have saved them a gajillion dollars if they would have just followed this first statement instead of doing all of the diversity inclusion training that we did, that I had to do. If we would go out and say, I'm going to teach you, of course I couldn't say what the scripture says, but that would have worked. I'm going to teach you what the scripture says about respect for other people that you work with. And all of the things we hear in the news, this is, it all goes back to this, doesn't it? And as Christians, he's saying, show respect to everyone. Now, I'm going to say this, I hope you'll understand it. Maybe you'll chew on it and think about it the way I have for this past week. Sally and I were driving home from Colorado. And as we drove, I always listened to a guy named James McDonald. Some of you listened to him. Some of you may have heard him before. Great, great, great preacher. One of my favorites. And then we listened to Robbie Zacharias, another apologist and fantastic. If you haven't listened to any of those, go on podcast or go on, ask John how to do that. But go on just Google it. That's the answer to everything. Just Google it. And if we could Google a Christian a spiritual life, that would do that. But just go on there and Google Robbie Zacharias. He was great. James McDonald's great. James McDonald was saying, he was talking about sin and talking about love for others and how he said something that caught my attention. I just can't get it out of my mind. I'm starting to understand what he's talking about, though. He was actually talking about, now I know we're not supposed to talk about this, but he was actually talking about homosexuality. And I don't think anybody in here would have any disagreement. The Bible is very clear about that. All right? We all know that. The Bible is very clear. I'm not going to be up here ranting and raving about it, but we all know that. If you're biblical Christians, and he was saying the same thing. And he goes on to say, what we say in the church is in regards to them, and it could be regards to anyone, love the sinner, hate their sin. Love the sinner, hate their sin. He said, that's not the approach. I go, really? I've always heard that. I've heard that from the pulpit. He said, you know what the approach should be? Love the sinner, hate your sin. Isn't that good? Think about it. You may not agree with it right now. I didn't at first. He first said it. I said, I don't like that. I started thinking about it. I said, oh, man. Because he preached harder against sin than anybody I've ever heard. And I started, he said, man, that's right. That's just a different perspective. And that's what he's saying here. Love the sinner. Hate your sin. Get yourself straightened out. Love the sinner. I don't think the sinner sees that too often. They do see that we hate their sin pretty easily. I don't think you have to tell us that. But I do think we sort of skip that sometimes because we forget that, we need to think about our sin. Love the sinner, hate your sin. That's just sort of extra, has nothing to do with it. But show proper respect. That's rule number one. Rule number two, love your Christian family. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago where we talked about the two different types of love, right? Love, agape, agapeo, and Philadelphia. This is sort of a mix, but the actual word love there is agape. Have God-like sacrificial love for your Christian family. And I wrote down exactly, literally, what that is. Love to participate in fellowship with believers. Okay. Number three, fear God. Fear God. That's submission, respect. Fear God. Fear the displeasure that God, that my disobedience, my lack of submission. Fear the hurt that causes my Savior when I fail to submit. And then lastly, respect the King. Respect the King. Or in this case, respect who? The Emperor. Who is that?
Crazy.
Mad Nero. Mad Nero. So let's just make it today. Who do we respect? Respect to. Respect to who? The president. The president. The president. If I lived in England, it'd be respect to who? The prime minister. Yes, ma'am.
So when the soldiers obeyed Nero and got Peter and dropped his head.
Yeah. Very good ethical question. Good discussion. There's one exception to this little rule, isn't there, that God gives us very clearly in Scripture. There's one exception. What is that one exception? You know what I heard? All right, one at a time.
When it goes against God's laws.
That's right. And Peter experienced that. Remember in Acts, when they told Peter, you and John, you guys get out of my sight, do not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. What did Peter say? Just give me a paraphrase of what he said. What did Peter say? What did Peter answer?
For the approval of man, or for the approval of God.
That's right. He said, listen, guys, I'll do whatever you say until you tell me to do what God's tell me not to do what God's told me to do. All right? So, Barbara, that's the right answer in every situation. Now, you need to be careful with trying to say, well, you know, God told me. Let's go back to the case. God told Eddie, he said, I think, you know, you need to hurry up and get home. So I think you need to drive 120 here. So when that policeman comes over and says, I'm giving you a ticket, and you said, I'm not taking it because God told me to go fast. There's a few problems with that, right? I'm being facetious, but you know what? Some people use that in their respect the king. Respect, even if it's Mad Nero, respect the king. He's my authority that's put in my life. Respect that authority. I can't tell my kids to respect my authority if I don't respect the authority. Here's the deal. You always have a boss. I don't care if it's your own business. You have a boss. I have a domestic supervisor. Right? Yes, Mike.
Yeah, I was just thinking about one of the best examples of this for me is Daniel. Because, even when the king came back the next morning, he was supposed to be dead. His response to him was, oh, king, live forever. He totally
there you
respected
go.
The king, but he did what God told him to do, and he was blessed to follow. But, he did both. And we have consequences when we follow God.
That's right. That's a perfect balance, that story. Perfect balance. As in Ezra, Hananiah, Mishael, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were... So who is that? It's their Hebrew name, right? Instead of their Babylonian names. When the three Hebrew children... That was their third cousins, twice removed. So when they were thrown into, when they said, you've got to bow, what did they do? They didn't bow. Did they obey the command of the king? No. They obeyed the higher authority, which was God. But they knew, if you're not right, you're in trouble. They'd burn up. But they obeyed God. And then they went through the fiery furnace, came out, and everything was fine. I'm not trying to oversimplify a very difficult subject. The principle is simple. The principle is submission. Hupotasso, to put under, right? So, your submission does one thing, or it does two things. It keeps you straight with the Lord. Keeps my heart right with God if I'm submissive. And then it does another thing. Those around you don't have any reason to doubt your Christianity because you're in submission to the authority that God's placed in your life. Amen? Make sense? The Bible usually does, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, teaching us, helping us, strengthening us, giving us exactly what we need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.